Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Good evening.
Whatever, Dave. Still a man down, but we will be checking in with Richard at the end of the show. And exciting announcement at the end of the show, Dave.
Yes, so can't wait.
Stay tuned. We'll be checking in on our friend Richard and letting you know something very exciting going on with the show. But I'm going to tell you something that's not exciting, Dave.
Please do.
For all intents and purposes, we are in a recession in the textbook sense, two quarters of negative growth. Along with recession comes inflation. Along with inflation comes shrinkflation. And it has come to my doorstep this weekend. The wife and I went to Olive Garden on Friday. And
the taste of Italy.
The taste of it. Well, and, you know, not to besmirch them because when I'm there, I'm family. But I have to call something out. Dave, when you go to the Olive Garden, how many breadsticks do they bring out?
It has been a while since I've been to the Olive Garden, but usually it's like four.
Usually it's five or six.
Okay.
And the wife and I only got four breadsticks in our first go-around. Of course, they bring you more back and everything.
All right. Okay.
I'm going to be measuring inflation by what I call the BSI, the breadstick index.
Got it. Okay.
Now, in the interest of research and science, we went back later on that weekend with another couple. So there are four of us. And the waitress brought us five breadsticks, which is more breadsticks than we got, but it's less BSP breadsticks a person. So actually, it's quite a it was quite a dramatic drop in BSP. It went from two BSP to 1.25.
So you were expecting five to six breadsticks for just you and your wife.
Normally, the first round they bring you five to six, and then they'll lowball you on the
how many
subsequent
were you expecting if there was two couples?
I was expecting the standard five to six to either
okay.
one.
Got it.
But if right. our you know if my wife and I you know we had two BSP breadsticks a person, then if there were four of us, I would expect eight.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's real, and I mean, you know, people can spin it whatever way they want. You know, there's people out there saying, "Oh, we're not in a recession because there's no job loss. There's still consumer spending." I think that shows evidence that it's not a bad recession yet, but nonetheless, we are in a recession, and that was living proof to me, at least.
I mean, you know, you got to be able to have a you know, adequate amount of breadsticks.
That's true.
So I wonder if
maybe this is the great breadstick famine of 2022.
I wonder if you go to like Texas Roadhouse, they're going to skimp you on the rolls.
Right. They stopped doing the peanuts there, but that was more because they were short staffed due to COVID. They didn't have enough people.
Didn't know that.
They didn't have enough people to clean up the peanuts.
I'm trying to think of other places that give you either breadsticks and or bread.
Red Lobster.
Okay.
I don't know how many cheddar biscuits because, you know, I can't do dairy anymore.
Right. Okay.
So
you might have to do some more investigating with Chelsea and, you know, report back.
I will. Because, you know, Dave, we're nothing if not the watchdog of the public. But this is very concerning. And, Dave, you know me. I'm not really big on delighting in other people's misfortunes. But I have to say I would make an exception for Alex Jones. His chickens are coming home to roost.
Big time.
And I have to say that I'm very happy. Why don't you give us a little rundown on what's happening with Alex Jones and the lawsuit he's facing from Sandy Hook parents?
Yeah, they came down the $4 million. He's going to get paid. He has to pay $4 million to these two parents.
Right. Well, so there's these two parents. They are parents of a couple of children who were killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre, which was 10 years ago. And Alex Jones has made a fortune selling lives to gullible, paranoid people, made a fortune on the pain of these parents by saying that Sandy Hook was a hoax. It was a false flag operation carried out by crisis actors to infringe on the Second Amendment. And his InfoWars shows, there was a certain point where he was making $800,000 a day, just peddling all this conspiracy theory stuff. And people believed it. I mean, my Facebook feed has been full of Sandy Hoax conspiracy theorists. And the problem with conspiracy theorists, Dave, is they put more work into being crazy than we do into being sane. So we may have the truth on our side, but they've done more research into this made-up story that it's hard to argue with them. So a couple parents took him to court.
Right.
And this, I don't know if it's a trial, but the court proceedings have been a real circus.
Yeah.
Number one, Alex Jones, he was on the stand and he said under oath that he did not, have any text message exchanges about Sandy Hook. And then the Sandy Hook parents' lawyer, Alex Jones's lawyer accidentally sent all of his text messages from the last 2 years to the Sandy Hook parents' lawyers. So he was busted for perjury. He's been going on his show during this whole court proceedings and talking trash about the judge, the opposing lawyer, saying that the judge was helping pedophile rings. I mean, it's just absolute bizarro world. And the fact that people still take this guy seriously, even though during a custody battle, his lawyer submitted into court that his bit was just BS.
Right.
You know, because his wife said, watch his show on InfoWars. He's a lunatic. I don't want him around my children. And his lawyer said, oh, well, that's a bit. He's a fit parent. And then in a 2019 deposition, he said that the Sandy Hook hoax wasn't real. He said that the Sandy Hook shooting did happen. And he said it again this week in the court proceedings. So that gets us up to where we are today.
Right. So the two parents, Scarlett Lewis and Neil Heslin, whose son Jesse died in the attack, they had sought damages for defamation and an infliction of emotional distress. So they were awarded $4.1 million. And the jury was also asked to decide whether Jones, who had already been found liable by a judge because he did not hand over critical evidence before the trial began, they must also decide whether to award punitive damages, and that panel will hear testimony on that subject Friday. So it's not done for him. He might,
right.
He's probably going to owe some more.
Well, and so what were the Sandy Hook parents originally looking for?
They were looking for $150 million.
And how much was he looking to pay?
He said that $2 million, anything over $2 million would bankrupt his company. Now, he also...
But he originally wanted to pay out $8. $1
yes,
for each victim.
He originally wanted to pay out $8, and so he already filed for bankruptcy earlier in the court proceedings.
Good.
To probably, and they're also accusing him of hiding a bunch of money in shell companies, too. So this story is not over quite yet.
Well, you know, Dave, I think a lot of people hold the First Amendment to be one of the most sacred of amendments. And Alex Jones is one of those people who abuse the First Amendment to do bad things.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I mean, it was ridiculous. They compared what the parents have gone through with the emotional stress to, military coming back from war and the PTSD that they go through after being in war. That's what they're comparing, the emotional distress that the parents have gone through because of Alex Jones and what he was saying about Sandy Hook being fake and everybody being an actor. And it
right.
was just all about gun rights. I mean, so they have, been through a lot. And
well, on top of the trauma of losing your child.
Sure.
Now you've got this fat loudmouth saying that it's all a hoax, that no children died, when you know for a fact your child died. Number two, these parents face gunshots at their own house because they're crisis actors.
Yeah,
they're
trying to phone calls, social media.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
it's ridiculous.
So that's where your First Amendment right ends. If your First Amendment right puts other people in danger,
mm-hmm.
on top of that, he has said under oath multiple times that he believes that the Sandy Hook shooting really did happen. That's perjury in itself. That's right. You're not connecting.
I mean, it's over at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right, Dave, let's get in your stack of stuff.
First story that I found was an interesting headline. It came from NPR and their Planet Money topic. It said, "Want to lay off workers more smoothly? There's a startup for that." And I thought to myself, what does that mean?
That is absolutely appalling.
So there is a company that will come to people's business, and their whole thing is figuring out, instead of the company hiring all these consultants on how they can save money and everything, this startup comes in and helps them lay off workers.
Right. You would think that maybe they would take some of that money that they're paying this layoff company and, I don't know, use it to retain some of these workers.
Right. The company's called Continuum, and they're calling it a labor marketplace for fractional executives. And what are fractional executives? Well, basically, that's tech speak for part-time consultants. So the company aims to connect startups with seasoned executives who work a few hours a week, and they'll provide advice. And the CEO of Continuum says, "Why spend millions on recruiting and employing executives full-time when you can spend only thousands employing them part-time?" And part of their job is letting down these employees lightly that are getting fired for whatever reason.
Right. What exactly are they doing that these big companies are paying them to do?
Well, apparently, it's basically TaskRabbit for paid executives. And you know what TaskRabbit is?
Is that like where you go on? It's like Fiverr, where you go on and look for gigs, and you click on them and you do them on a freelance basis?
Yeah, so TaskRabbit, you hire gig workers to like assemble furniture or repair your home. While Continuum, you hire gig executives to consult your business, including now how to smoothly, strategically, and humanely lay off workers. That's one of the big parts of their selling.
I mean, so what's humanely? I mean, humanely, you don't work here anymore, but we'll still give you a paycheck so you can support yourself?
Yeah, they give you advice on what to do next and how to help them out, instead of just some of the ways that they said in the articles that some of these big companies have been laying off workers. It's like you get a Zoom call. Okay, you're done. It's like a massive layoff. All right, goodbye.
Right.
And then you're asked to leave the premises.
I got to be honest, Dave. If I'm losing my job, it doesn't matter if it's a phone call or a Zoom call or they make me drag my happy ass down to the office. Neither one of those scenarios are going to make it better.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Continuum charges a flat fee for laying off for their layoff consulting services, and the fee escalates with the headcount. So, for companies with up to 100 employees, $10,000 flat rate. Okay, that's what you're going to pay them. For those with between 100 and 250 employees, $15,000, and for those between 250 to 500, $20,000.
This sounds like the sequel to Office Space, doesn't it?
It's just unbelievable.
Jeez, oh, Pete's.
And for this fee, Continuum offers 10 hours of advising from elite executive advisors, a plan to communicate layoffs to employees and the broader world with an analysis to help with diversity, equity, and inclusion goals.
I mean, how good can you feel about yourself working for a company like that? You're meeting somebody new, you're out on a date, or you're seeing someone and you're meeting their family for the first time. What line of work are you in? We help companies lay people off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the job. I mean, that's the big part. Now, they also offer advice for your company and how to make it better and other stuff. But the big part of it, with all these tech companies that are now starting to lay off as the tech boom starts to kind of shrink, they're making a ton of money off of companies who just don't want to deal with laying off their employees.
Right.
They'd rather hire this company to come.
It's gutless.
And just make it, you know,
right,
and just make it easier. It's really interesting.
Yeah. It's gutless. It's spineless. I mean, I could never be in management because I could never, I could fire someone if they like deserved it. But like, if they were a good employee and they worked hard, and the only reason that they're being let go is because corporate, sees them on a spreadsheet and wants to, you know, eliminate some payroll. I couldn't do that. But if that was my job, I wouldn't outsource it. It's almost worse because what it does is it keeps the management or the people doing the laying off from actually feeling the pain.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's like passing the buck to do something that it may be uncomfortable.
Next topic.
I'm sure that you've heard about the PGA and the LIV,
the LIV Tour.
Yes.
The Saudi Tour.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a lot of questions. I'm glad you brought this up.
And it's interesting. This story says that the all the people that got kicked out of the PGA because they went to LIV, well, they are now suing the PGA, calling it an illegal monopoly. And what's interesting about this, as you know, that all of the when you're a part of the PGA, you're an independent contractor. There is no like. You know, CBA, there is no, like, players union. It's
really?
Not like basketball
right.
or baseball where you're kind of protected against this kind of stuff. So all these LIV golfers that left to go take money and then were kicked out of the PGA are saying that you can't do that. It's illegal to exclude us from the PGA because we went to another entity to make more money.
So I've got a lot of questions about this LIV Tour. Now, this LIV Tour, and the big knock against it is that it's funded by the Saudi government.
Correct.
Like, what in the world is the Saudi government's interest in starting a golf league? I know that, you know, like Phil Mickelson and a lot of these other players that have gone to play, you know, aren't fans of the PGA, wouldn't mind seeing the PGA go under, but what, like, why does the Saudi government care what happens with the PGA, and why do they care so much that they're actually going to use billions of essentially taxpayer, publicly funded dollars to start this, golf league that doesn't even have a TV deal?
I want to say that it's just a case of them having a lot of money and they're just doing what they want, you know.
And the other thing is the PGA has to be careful here. No matter how you feel about these players going to another league or how you feel about the Saudi government, the PGA telling people that if they go to the LIV Tour they can't come back. That could really come back and bite them because we're hearing about all these big names going over. They made a run at Tiger Woods for $800 to $900 million. It didn't happen. But if they keep poaching away these stars and the PGA says don't come back, essentially the PGA is going to have nobody to market and going to have nobody that viewers are going to be tuning in to watch.
Well, if you look at it, there's two different thoughts. So, you know, of the people that have gone over to LIV, you've had a few that are young, still PGA stars, but a lot of them are just older. I wouldn't call them has-beens because they're great golfers, but let's just say they're in the twilight of their career.
Mm-hmm. You're a little choked up.
I am, so I apologize. But then you have the Tiger Woods. And some of the other golfers who are standing up for the PGA. And Tiger made a great point. He said, you know, if you're going over there to get this, what he called automatic money.
Right.
Which basically it is.
Because they're paying people a ton of money. And,
right.
And you're going to make six figures even if you don't place.
What's the emphasis to try to improve your game? You know, what's the emphasis to try to, you know, what's the incentive to try? You know, when you're getting, you know, $800,000 for coming last place.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. I kind of feel two ways about it. I understand if you're somebody in the PGA where it's hard to make money, and if you're not established, going and taking the $6 million like James Pyatt did from, you know, Michigan State.
Right.
But if you're somebody like Dustin Johnson, then, I mean, you know, why? You know, you're already established. You've made all this money. You've won some majors. You know what? What do you? I mean, I guess $150 million that he was paid is worth it. But so I see it, but I don't see it. Well, I respect what Tiger Woods says, but I also see, you know, why the PGA is upset about it and why some of the other golfers. And then, you know, the I think the PGA is also being investigated on a federal level, too, for what they've done to the golfers, too. So this story still has a lot more to be told.
Yeah.
But I guess I feel, you know, I'm not 100% for the PGA. I'm not 100% for LIV. I'm kind of caught in the middle because I kind of see both sides.
Well, and like I said, I mean, the PGA, because it sounds like the LIV doesn't care if you jump between the PGA and the LIV.
They don't care, no.
Yeah.
The PGA cares if you come back, though.
Right. And so the PGA, right, exactly. And so the PGA is saying, okay, if you walk out that door, don't come back. And if this LIV thing doesn't collapse under the weight of itself, which is a very real possibility because there's a lot more money going out than coming in at this point.
Right.
Like we said, there's not even a TV deal.
Right, they're on YouTube. They are getting right. some. They do seem to be getting. They got David Faraday, who just jumped over there.
They almost got Charles Barkley, right?
They did. And I have watched it.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of people there watching it, okay? But, you know, it seems, you know, the Saudis have deep pockets. So,
well,
you know.
And going on to the next topic, Dave, that you know, the LIV having a YouTube deal and not a TV deal. You know, these streaming deals are getting bigger and bigger, and eventually they might be the wave of the future and be more lucrative than actual broadcast television deals.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because, as you know, Thursday Night Football this year in the National Football League has gone over to Amazon Prime.
And Thursday Night Football, that's like the opposite of Monday Night Football, right? Like Monday night is supposed to be the creme de la creme matchup,
right.
And Thursday night is kind of the toilet, right?
A lot of
at this
well,
point.
You know, a lot of the people, a lot of the players don't necessarily like Thursday night. It's a short turnaround from Sunday to play Thursday and more susceptible to injuries. You don't go through the same recovery and stuff like that. And sometimes the Thursday games are exciting and sometimes they're not exciting. But Amazon Prime is trying to do something kind of like what ESPN did with Monday Night Football in that they've teamed up with the Dude Perfect people. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Dude Perfect people.
Well, and you're like similar to the Manning cast.
Correct.
Like an alternate broadcast.
Right. And but the Dude Perfect people, they have like 53 million followers on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they do like these stunts. So they're going to have an alternate Thursday Night Football stream with Dude Perfect if you don't feel like watching the regular broadcast, kind of like Monday Night Football, you could watch the Manning cast, or a couple games they did with Nickelodeon, where they had
right.
The Nickelodeon.
So, I mean, but is Dude Perfect actually doing play-by-play, or are they just going to be doing wacky stuff during the football game?
From what I understand,
games?
They're going to be doing wacky stuff, but still somehow, you know, they're going to be doing outlandish stunts, trick shot videos. And they're not going to be on every Thursday Night Football, and
yeah.
Amazon hasn't announced which games will include the Dude Perfect streams. But they also said that if Dude Perfect isn't your thing, they're among the multiple alternate stream offerings that will be available this season. So I don't know how many different streams of this football game you're going to be able to watch on Thursday nights this
and
year.
I've never watched Dude Perfect, but this just sounds like an executive saying, we got to do something different. Let's find somebody who's got 1,000 viewers and literally just hire them and hope that some of those viewers follow them to our broadcast.
It says that they do have, 58 million subscribers to their YouTube channel. They're going to predict what happens in the next play and welcome an entertaining parade of dunk tanks, pudding cannons, special guests, and the occasional world record attempt.
I think that's going to wear thin.
You might be right.
I think so. I mean, so Dave, I mean, we're kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. You're like a diehard sports fan. You know, I watch it because it's on. But I'm casual at best.
Right.
How much of the Manning cast did you watch as opposed to the traditional Monday Night Football broadcast?
I have to tell you, I loved the Manning cast.
See,
I watched the Manning cast throughout the whole season whenever it was on. And it wasn't on for every game.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was hilarious. They had great guests. I think Peyton is hilarious. Eli is great. I love the Manning cast.
I thought the Manning cast had its moments. I thought it had good moments, but I think I feel like it dragged a lot too.
Yeah, I just thought it was great, and I hope they do. I don't know if they're going to do every game with the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. I am interested to see what kind of broadcast Amazon Prime is going to put on. I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think about it. So, if your team's playing on Thursday night, okay, you need to have Amazon Prime. If your team is playing on Monday night, you need to have ESPN. I think it was on ESPN and ABC. And Thursday night used to be on Fox and NFL Network. Now it's on Amazon Prime. And in fact, the team that I love, the Denver Broncos, will be playing in London on October 30th, Sunday morning. There's only one place you can watch it. ESPN Plus.
Yeah, it's too fragmented. We've talked about this before. All the streaming stuff is it's not even making cord cutting worth it.
No,
money wise.
It used to be that I wasn't cutting the cord because I had two reasons. One was you couldn't watch live sports, which you can now. The other reason was I have DirecTV and I wanted a Sunday ticket so I could watch the Denver Broncos. Now. Even that is up at the end of the year, and they're rumored to be going to a streaming platform, Amazon Prime, Apple TV Plus, whatever. So everything is changing, and they're almost forcing you to go to all these different apps. But, I mean, let's think about it. You know, between Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, Peacock, Discovery, I mean, you name it, everybody's got. Even the NFL has NFL Plus now.
Right.
Even our local TV stations here have Channel 4, WDFA Plus, Channel 4 Plus, whatever.
Which, look, I love Channel 4, but how many people are going to that streaming site instead of just keeping it on for the Today Show?
But the fact that they're pushing you into this.
Yeah.
Is I don't know how I feel about it.
Essentially, what's going to happen is you're going to be able to get a bundle of all of them. It's just going to cost as much as cable.
Yeah,
anyway.
We're going to have to keep an eye on this.
So okay, I'm doing a little piecemeal research on the Manning cast. It said that the first episode had 800,000 viewers. Then the second episode had 1.9. Third 1.6. The Monday Night Football broadcast itself averaged about 11.2. So the ratings were niche, but maybe that's all Amazon needs.
But ESPN did say that it was one of their highest ranking streaming things that they ever had done.
Right. We're running out of time, but this kind of is in stark contrast to the passing of Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Legendary Dodgers broadcaster for 67 years. And, of course, you know, we had our own Vin Scully here in Detroit with Ernie Harwell. And we're never going to have another Ernie. We're never going to have another Vin Scully. The world's just not equipped that way. Like you said, you know, back then there's three TV stations and radio stations and now. But, you know, who would you say right now is the closest living legend status amongst our broadcast teams?
You know, it's really tough. I would have to say, Mickey Redmond, who does the color for the Red Wings, has been a former beloved player, broadcasting for such a long time. George Blaha's been around for a long time. He does Michigan State. He does the Pistons. He's been around for a long time. We just don't have that legendary voice. I mean, I don't think that was Ernie or Vin Scully.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think both Red Wings broadcast teams, whether Ken Kale, Paul Woods on the radio, Mickey Redmond, and Ken Daniels on TV, they've been around long enough, and they've called some big moments.
Right.
The Dan Dickerson call of Maglio in the 2006 playoff.
Sure.
Classic call.
Yeah.
Dan Miller calls a hell of a game, but he hasn't just, unfortunately, he's been broadcasting the Lions.
Yeah.
And hasn't.
Yeah.
If Rod and Mario could have kept it together, if Rod and Mario could have put aside the fact that they didn't like each other and could have just because they had us all fooled. I mean, you heard rumors they didn't like each other throughout their time together, but they were so good together, you wouldn't believe it. I think if they could have kept it together for another 10 to 20 years, they obviously wouldn't have quite hit Ernie status, but they would have been close.
Right. So. You know, Mark Champion also on Pistons, he does the radio broadcast. He's been around for a long time, too. He does a great job. So,
yeah. So you didn't really answer the question. You just named all the teams.
It's just, I guess the answer is that I don't know if we'll ever have a legendary voice like Ernie Harwell or Vin Scully, because, you know, times have changed. And you're right. There are so many different ways to watch watch or listen to any type of broadcast that it's just different,
right?
You know,
exactly. All right. Speaking of legends, let's try to get Richard on the horn here.
Yeah, Rich.
We said we check in with them. We also have a very exciting announcement. Oop! It's hard. Hold on. I'm multitasking, trying to get
him on the horn, as Rich likes to say.
Yeah, let's get Rich on the horn here.
Yeah.
This is great radio trying to dial someone, but, you know.
Hey, you know, it's live to tape, so there you go.
Ooh, hot phone. You know,
I hope he answers.
We'll do this Would You Rather with Rich as well as Blake the Messenger.
Oh.
Richard?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike and Dave on Whatever Day.
Hi, Rich.
Holy cow, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, you are not in with us. I don't know if you want to explain why. If not, we can move on.
Sure, I have bronchitis.
Bronchitis, and you've been out, and hopefully you're starting to feel a little bit better.
I am. I had my first night cough-free last night.
Woo! Way to go.
Thank you. Yes, I tried my hardest. You know, you got to give 110%, and that's what I did.
That's good. Well, and it looks like it's paying off.
We've missed you, Rich.
Clear hearts, clean minds, make it happen.
Yeah. Richard, we need you to rest up because we've teased a very exciting announcement at the beginning of the show.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's a fact. You can go back and listen to the tape. And on August...
I won't be doing that.
On August 12th, you don't even want to listen while you're here. On August 12th, the three of us will be filling in for Mitch Albom on the Mitch Albom Show from 5 to 7 on WJR. So rest up, Richard. Rest up. We're going to the big leagues. Dave, that is really messing up my head.
I know, but Rich, you have to get yourself well for this big event on Friday, August 12th.
Well, don't put too much pressure
on
it.
All right.
Afternoon drive.
I mean, you might have to ratchet it up to 115%, okay?
Yeah, wow.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm going to take as much hydroxychloroquine and horse paste.
Ivermectin, good.
Whatever I need to do.
Good.
All right, so since we got you on the horn, Rich, the messenger came in here with... his first Would You Rather in a month. This was supposed to be it's supposed to be a weekly thing, but it's been highly inconsistent. So to end the show, and this one gives one of our P1s anxiety, so I apologize. The Would You Rather question for the week. Would you rather be forced to sing along to every single song you hear, or B, dance to every single song you hear? Richard, since you are on the mend, we'll let you go first.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm diametrically opposed to forced movement. I really like to be stationary.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with singing.
One vote for singing. Dave?
100% singing.
And it's a clean sweep because I kind of feel like if I know the song, I'm going to sing along. I sing along to it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not much on dancing unless I'm a slizzard. So it looks like it's a clean sweep for singing.
Do you have to? Do you have to do really, really well at knowing all the lyrics?
I don't know.
Okay.
Only the messenger knows for sure. Yes, right. Richard. This is the first time in the history of two times of us doing it that there's been a clean sweep. Well, Richard, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better. Dave, it's been nice holding down the fort with you. And the next time you hear us, provided Richard continues on his upward trajectory in his health, it'll be the three of us. I don't know if anyone from Albums Crew is going to be on. It might be a 10-person party, but the three of us will be back together on August 12th from 5 to 7, WJR.com Eastern Time. Be there.